Hello, Internet, and welcome to All of My Issues in this episode, episode 10. We're in double digits now. We talk about The Walking Dead season premiere, season 7, episode 1. So here's your warning right now. There are going to be plenty of spoilers in this episode. We also talk about the passing of comic book artist great Steve Dillon and the contributions that he has added to the medium that we like most. Also, Sam discusses the new Spider-Man storyline and convinces us to give that comic book another try. So go ahead and listen and enjoy. Hello, Internet, and welcome to All of My Issues. I'm Rick.
It's Sam.
Chris.
All right, today we're going to talk about a couple different topics, but first we want to take a moment to talk about Steve Dillon, the comic book artist that passed away this past weekend. It's kind of a personal favorite of mine. As I was thinking about his passing, I just realized how many books that he wrote that I absolutely loved. He pretty much wrote all of my favorite characters and all of my favorite story arcs. Constantine, Punisher, Preacher, just fantastic, fantastic. I don't know, what do you guys think about Steve Dillon?
Legend. Died way too young.
Yeah.
54 is way too young. Still don't know the cause of death. I don't know. It might be out there. But his run on Hellblazer is probably my favorite.
I would agree with that. That's like just the those issues where him and Garth Ennis.
Yeah.
Did, oh, my God.
What a,
so
what
good.
A team.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
And of course, Preacher, in the 90s, one of my favorite comics, and probably when I look back on the 90s comic books, I look back on that as probably being one of the seminal works of that time period.
Yeah.
So, very sad to see him go.
Yeah, I read that, I believe his appendix burst, and he he wasn't sure what the pain in the stomach was. And I believe he just waited too long, and an infection spread throughout his system. By the time he went to the hospital, I believe it was too late.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a pretty sad way to go, and for somebody like him, it's pretty awesome. His artwork, I just think it's instantly identifiable.
Yeah,
you know.
It's one of those iconic comic things, especially, I can't imagine someone else doing The Preacher.
Like, exactly, yeah. It just wouldn't be the same. Even just the way he drew, it was like, you know, perfect storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, his artwork is maybe kind of simplistic in nature, but almost beautifully so.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like like a Todd McFarlane, where there's almost, at times, sometimes, you know, Todd can get a little bit too into the detail, and you look at the panel, and you're wondering, what's actually happening on his page?
Why doesn't no one have elbows?
Where should I be looking?
exactly.
muscles, no elbows.
Yeah, where's Spider-Man's leg at? I don't get it. How is it doing that? I don't know. But you'd look at a panel of Steve Dillon's work, and you knew exactly what was going on, the facial expressions, the emotions that were happening.
Some of my favorite pages in comic book history are Harry Starr when he's looking in the mirror at the various times.
Yes, absolutely.
Where it's the same picture over and over again with slightly different details, but again, just masterful storytelling.
Yeah, fantastic. It was sad to see him go. And I guess we'll segue into that into The Walking Dead, the season 7 premiere. right now, I guess we're going to, you know, give you the spoiler warning if you haven't watched. Even if you haven't watched, I can't imagine that you don't know what happens.
Right,
exactly.
With the way that the internet was all abuzz.
Yeah.
But, what were your guys' take on it?
I really enjoyed the episode a lot. I didn't like the idea of the cliffhanger the way it ended to begin with. I didn't hate it as much as apparently half the world did. I felt the payoff was good enough that for what little bit of reservations I had about the cliffhanger ending, the payoff was good enough that I was happy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was happy about the episode, too. It just amazes me, though, that, you know, The Walking Dead, the actual comic, has been out for a while.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the showrunners are kind of going with the comic. They changed a few things, so it's, like, not exactly the comic.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you would think after, what season is this? What?
Season seven, yeah.
Season seven, yeah. That people would, like, kind of catch on, hey, if I read the comic, I may have an idea what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And people still, like, literally act surprised when they actually, the person who's yeah. supposed to die actually dies.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I think, you know, the thing is, though, that I think is even more shocking is I think there's actually quite a few people that don't even realize that it's based off of a comic book.
Right.
Because yeah. I know there's a number of people that have mentioned it to you, and they're like, what, like a superhero comic book? How's that even? I'm like, no, it's a comic book, but it's not about superheroes.
I literally said to my boss, who said he never watches The Walking Dead, I literally said, well, should be pretty big because, you know, this is what they did in the comic. He's like, oh, there's a comic book. Yeah, there's a comic book.
Yeah. 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 That is crazy to me that they don't know. But
well, it goes all the way back to, I remember when they first released the trailer for The Walking Dead coming out. And I put on my Facebook page with, I can't wait, like the top comment underneath, what is this, like 28 days later?
You have no idea. Maybe that first episode is kind of like,
yeah, just
because
there's a coma.
Exactly. Yeah, because I remember reading that too when I first somebody suggested the book to me, and I was like, or the first one, I'm like, man, which came out first, 28 days later, or this comic book? And it kind of came out, I think, around the same time.
I think the writing of the comic book came out around the same time that the movie came out.
Yeah,
and even if you cribbed a little bit, I mean.
Yeah, it's
a good starting point.
Exactly, where you
start with a character who doesn't know what's going on. It's already all gone down. That's a good storytelling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, from that point on, that's the only similarity.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Yeah, it's just it was crazy to me, like how it was actually as brutal as it was. You know, talking about the main scene where the two characters get it. You know. Particularly Glenn.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. Like when Abraham got it, you were just kind of like, I knew, like, based off the comics, I knew he didn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
The way he died in the comic was different. But, you know, when I see, I was like, oh, that's kind of rough. And I think, I almost got mad because I'm like, that's not supposed to happen. You know,
yeah.
Other guys supposed to get it, and then turn around, and there's, you know, two people.
Yeah, yeah.
And full disclosure, I've known for months who got it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, do you about Abraham as well?
And only because I was on a website, and they explained that there were two actors that didn't show up for filming after the first day of filming.
Oh,
so I didn't know who got what, how, I didn't know, but I knew that two people were going to die, so I'm... Yeah, it was still brutal to watch.
It was. And
I've had to stay silent for months because I don't want to spoil it for anyone else.
Yeah.
But a couple subtle things. I liked Abraham's little peace sign.
I read about that, and then I went back and looked at it. I was like,
I liked Defiant up until the end, Abraham.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Exactly. Yep. I like that, too.
And the thing... Also, when I'm talking to other people about it, you know, they're like so mad at Negan. But you gotta look from his perspective. This is like the first time that Rick and the gang were actually the villains.
Right. Well, I had this conversation with someone at work. I said the reason that you aren't rooting for Negan in this scene is because we haven't followed him for 7 years.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
If we
would have
followed
him
for 7 years, you would have had. I mean, he's a very charismatic, a very funny character, and then you're gonna have. You have a group of people who come in and kill all his people while they're sleeping.
Right.
That's like, how do you expect them to react? Yeah.
And if Rick would have eaten them, they'd have been no better than the Terminus people. And we saw what happened to them in the church. I mean, Rick took a hatchet to their head.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That is true. That's very true.
And it's like, you know, Morgan, you know, tried to, you know, explain to him. He's like, hey, I think we need to just talk to these guys first before we go decide who lives and who dies. And, you know, Rick's like, no, I made a decision. And everyone's like, yeah, we're going to follow Rick. And see what happened. You're on your knees and just watch two of your friends get the head bashed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And then I think we should also talk about the fact of, at least in my opinion, Daryl 100% to blame for Glenn's death.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that is totally true. Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those parenting moments where you tell your kid what's going to happen if they misbehave, and then they misbehave and are mad because it happens.
Yeah.
Whose fault is it?
Yeah. That's true. That's absolutely
true. But, you know, I wouldn't... Yeah. If he didn't do it, then I would have been... Surprised because that's just Daryl's gonna fight to the end.
Yeah, that is true. I wonder how, you know, with that, since that's kind of like a divergence from the book, how his character is going to deal with that. Because I mean, he has to know that ultimately, you know, he was responsible for for Glenn getting the head bashing. So yeah,
and that's interesting. How is Maggie going to react to Daryl now?
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah, so there's probably going to be a little. You know,
well, plus Daryl's, who knows when he'll get back with the group. He's right. Gonna be
that's right. True too.
He's gonna be at the compound for a while.
Yeah, that is true.
I think for the most part, I think she will still just blame Negan because of the killing of Abraham and so I don't think it will be too bad, but it's not like he's Carol.
Yeah.
And with Glenn getting hit in the head, I was surprised they went the eyeball route.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. That was like
that does happen in the comic.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I was surprised that
like AMC would let that. I mean, because it is
can't
pretty
say
brutal.
The F word, but we can brutally bash people's heads
exactly.
until they don't exist anymore.
Yeah. What's worse? Come on.
But Negan, he wasn't saying the F-bomb, but he had some good language in there.
Yeah, he had some good language in there.
But, you know, it's totally true, like, the, you know, when the rating system is okay with head being bashed and eyeball popping out of head, no F-bomb.
Yeah.
That just seems like the scales are a little bit askewed there. I don't know. I mean...
We're going to find you for the F-bomb.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, I would man. Also like to take a moment and talk about the real star of the episode, which was Rick's snot bubble.
Yeah.
That is fine acting right there, man.
That was the most glorious acting I've ever seen in my entire life.
That is very true. That is very true. That is part of what made that episode so effective, though, is really the acting, is how good it was, like, for real. Like,
Rick and Eugene really stood out for me, with Eugene not having any really spoken, always being in the background, and he literally looked like it was the end of the world.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Also, the title of the episode... There will come a day where you won't be. I did not realize at the time, but someone online pointed out that it is a callback to the first season when they were in the CDC and Rick says something about being grateful that he saved them, that the guy at the CDC saved him, and the CDC guy turned and said, there will come a day where you won't be.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good reference. I didn't realize that, yeah. Huh. I like that.
So where do you think we go from here, then? Do you think they'll continue along the comic book way? And
I don't know.
How long do you think All Out War will last?
That's hard to tell. I mean, because I would think, like, if they do All Out War, that's got to be pretty expensive, the film.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, though, with the popularity of The Walking Dead and everything like that, it seems like AMC would be kind of... You know, foolish not to write a check. Hey, whatever you guys want, here's all the money to make it happen because we're going to recoup it.
What's funny, the number one show on cable television, they say, is The Walking Dead when it's airing in terms of rating. And the number two episode, I believe, or thing is The Talking Dead.
Yeah.
And number three is Fear the Walking Dead.
So they've
got cash cows there.
Yeah, that's
for
sure.
Which I can't get into. I thought I would be able to get into Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of the first season.
I will watch almost anything zombie related if they take it seriously. So yeah. I have watched Fear the Walking Dead from the start, and the last episode of the first season, I think, was the best of the first season.
Oh, okay.
And the last half season has been the best of all of it so far. Oh, it's gotten progressively better. They still do some things wrong, but I'll tell you what, you know, like in the first season, they realize in the regular Walking Dead that if you put zombie guts on you, you can walk amongst them. Boy, that's just part of Fear the Walking Dead's repertoire now. That's just how they get around.
They're
perfectly fine smothering themselves in it. So
I just couldn't take the drug son. He was just like so annoying to me.
And little Tom Riddle.
Yeah. I'm like, seriously, dude. Just would you? You can't even sober up when you're seeing people eating them. I'm like, eating each other.
But I mean, I thought it was kind of interesting in a way because like. There's that whole thing. Okay, he's high. Is he really seeing what he thinks he's seeing?
And I kind of enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
But it started to wear on me because he was just like, and maybe it was the actor. It was just
there's some tedious things about it, honestly. But the second season, I think, is by and large. I guess I wanted something out of the first season that I didn't get. I wanted to see the fall of the city. I didn't really got that. I got a fleeing from a city. Right. I got trapped in a city and then a fleeing from a city.
See, that's what I was kind of hoping to get out of that, too. And I didn't get that far into it.
Because, the second season gives me something. It's what's it like in Mexico. They go to Mexico. Right, that's a spoiler. Hey.
Okay.
They go to Mexico, and now it's kind of see the way that it was dealt with in Mexico. And it does not even like... very populated areas of Mexico necessarily, so they're out in the desert now. Without giving anything away, the way this past season ended, it makes me hopeful for what this next season will be like. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, I was because the one thing, like, because I'm not completely caught up with the comic books of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, me either.
Because you know, for
I just wait for the graphic novels,
and that's what I do too. And but even that, I'm not even caught up on the graphic novels because after a while, I'm sure I'll go back and read them. But for a while there, it seemed like it just became kind of repetitious and a little formulaic, you know. But I think I'm hoping that, you know, from what people have told me, that it kind of seems like there's more of a direction now. Because for a while there, it just seemed like, where is this going to go, the story?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's really an end game for the story, but from some rumors that some people have said...
Well, now they're at the point where they've settled down and now they have the Whisperers.
Yeah, that's what... That's, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, which so. Is the coolest thing ever. So, I love Negan. I think he's a better villain than the Whisperers, but there's just something creepy about wearing zombie skin.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I need to go get caught up on that, but...
Yeah, I didn't know about the Whisperers.
Yeah, I didn't know about the Whisperers. I've heard the name, I heard references of them. I didn't know...
I don't think it ruins anything about their story to know that they walk amongst the dead.
Oh, okay. That's...
They're part of a... You know, they basically walk amongst super herds because they literally... skinned zombies and sewn together.
That's interesting. That's pretty crazy. I mean, I can see that though. That it almost seems like that's the logical direction to go from wearing zombie guts.
And that's not even necessarily what really makes them interesting. And that's probably where I'll stop and not let you guys discover that. But the way their society works is very interesting.
That would kind of interest me. I think too to see that how that. Kind of goes because in a way I'm almost to the point where it seems like it would make sense for them to almost just go around and maybe just try to clear out the zombies,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make some kind of attempt to do that, because you figure, you know, there's a lot of zombies everywhere, but they're kind of slow.
Yeah.
You know, if you keep your eyes on them, you know.
And the vast majority of them are rotting away. And, you know, we're going to be.
So you figure you could maybe clear them out, maybe try to rebuild society at that point, you know.
Kind of like what they were trying to do in Night of the Living Dead when they were just shooting zombies and putting them in piles and started burning. Morgan started it.
Yeah. Because I can, you know, I'm, you know, if something like that were to occur, I can see there being absolute. Complete chaos for a little while, but then you'd think eventually
we would try to rebuild.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. So I'm just kind of wondering if that, and you know, you see glimpses of that when
that seems to be the direction that the comics go to, trying to rebuild society. That's why it's the irony of Eugene in the comic being on a mission to save the world when he really doesn't have any of that information.
Yeah,
and then he's helping bring back technology and, you know, bullets and things
like that they mentioned
in the show. So he is actually kind of helping to
kind
save
of contribute the world. To say, right. Yeah. That is true. That is a good point of view. Yeah. I like that. But, yeah. I don't know. The one other thing, and this is probably going off topic from the show a little bit more, but, like, the one thing that, because I've just gotten to the point in the comic where Negan was like going there, or I haven't even read this part, but I've read some spoilers about this where Negan's using knives and weaponry and putting zombie guts on him to infect people.
Oh, so you're still in All Out War.
Yeah, okay. So like kind of like right in that. And the thing that kind of bothered me with that was that, well, like they've been wearing guts and stuff, and I'm like, if that doesn't infect them.
Yeah, you know, well, and the show is actually already, versus the comic book, has already shown that won't hurt you because you have a character who cut through a zombie and I think into Abraham's arm.
Exactly. Because I saw that and I was wondering, okay, is that going to cause some issue there?
Yeah, I guess the idea on Negan's part was is you get them all nice and gunky with zombie parts and then you cut into them and then hopefully that spreads the infection. But if they do that in the show, I'd imagine that it would be, hopefully, that it's just that it makes them sick so that
you've got
cadaver gunk inside of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the thing, like, pretty early on in the comic book, at least, like, they kind of talk about how they already have the infection in them.
Right. Because
if they die, they become a zombie. Even if they die of natural causes, they still become
a zombie.
So that's why I was like, they already have the infection. They're not, you know, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was just a small little... epic thing, but
I want to talk about how, like, the whole mind game that Negan put on Rick. I mean,
it was pretty brutal.
It was brutal,
yeah.
and Rick's again, Andrew Lincoln's acting in that of just,
yeah,
I mean, you know, sometimes I guess you just need to be alone on top of an RV and really think about things.
that is true, yeah, but I mean. I don't know even how they could have. I mean, his performance on that.
Jumping from the hanging guy that was there from the episode before.
That was just being
stuck in there. You know, as a comic reader, how much did they tease Rick getting his hand cut off?
Oh, I know. Because I was literally thinking, oh, it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
For those who don't read the comic, the governor cut off Rick's hand.
Yeah.
Way back in...
Fed it to some zombies. There you go.
In issue 20s, I think.
Yeah. But I do remember reading somewhere, too, at one point where Robert Kirkman regretted doing that in the comic.
Well, he said very much he regretted doing that comic, but he said he never wanted to do it in the show because it's very easy to write, okay, Rick, you know, hops up on a car and is firing his gun and reloads. It's easy to write that in a comic. It's not as easy to show that with an actor.
Yeah.
What happens
with
how you...
stump.
Of course, then again, he also said he regretted killing Abraham before All Out War.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize
He's
that.
He's a jerk like that.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to see the way that
everyone would react to
Abraham would have handled Negan in All Out War.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. Negan's going to hit the biggest one. But yeah, even talking about killing them, you need a good right-hand man.
Yeah.
And
that was the...
Putting the axe down on the thing and just...
Yeah.
And then I thought, they're going to cut Carl's arm off.
Yeah, that's how they're going to do it? Is this one?
Like, this poor kid lost an eye and had an arm.
Yeah.
He's going to come in a pirate episode by episode.
Yeah.
Grr,
yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. But it was definitely... I mean, it was the... good hour of television for sure.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about some, do we have anything else to talk about The Walking Dead? Or are we ready to
I'm just excited for the
next episode to see what happens next. Yeah,
looks like next episode's Hilltop.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like they're going to Carol for a while. Give you a chance to digest on the fact that characters are dead. And...
Yeah. Carol. I just can't. Carol, like, has started to, like, grown to bug me over the season.
Well, I loved Carol up until right the end of this season. Not that I disliked the character or anything, but I don't like her questioning herself. I don't like her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because that seems, you know, kind of out of character.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's I really true. Much prefer Look at the Flowers, Carol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. That was, yeah, that episode was, that was pretty crazy, too. Look at the Flowers. But, yeah, so well, the other thing we were going to talk about was some of the creative individuals involved with the new Deadpool movie. They left, right?
Yes. Tim Miller, the director of the first Deadpool movie and I think he helped write it Reynolds and everything, has stepped away from the project based on creative differences with Ryan Reynolds, and it appears the studio took Ryan Reynolds' side on it. From rumors, again, nobody knows except for the people involved, but the rumors are that... Tim Miller wanted to go high budget, and he wanted to make it an action movie to compete with other comic book action movies, and Ryan Reynolds wanted it to continue to be a lower budget where it relies more on the humor rather than the special effects. So, and also over the potential casting of Cable. So it appears that is what caused him to leave. So... hopefully, this is a good thing overall for the movie. Not that I didn't love his directing in the first one. I did.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I have to agree. I loved the first one, too. I guess it's in situations like this where, you know, we won't really... you know, we're not going to get to see Deadpool 2 the way he would have done it versus Deadpool 2 the way it's going to be made. Right. So we can't really compare those two. I guess we can just compare 2 against 1. And hopefully 2 is... as entertaining and fun as the first one, because that movie is just fun to watch. I could probably watch that, you know, over and over again, just because there's just so much entertainment in it, you know?
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, I really think, was born to play Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah. I think so, too.
I thought that when they cast him in the
first Wolverine movie. I totally agree.
And then when I saw what they did in the first one, I was like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. The way it ended, I was just like...
such a good character. Yeah. Why would you...
And it didn't even make sense. Why? It was like they wasted the character to do that.
You take the funniest character and sew his mouth shut.
Exactly. But I liked how in the movie they kept referencing and going back to that.
And even the action figure.
the action figure. It's fantastic. Fantastic. And just even like the tongue-in-cheek stuff about him being Green Lantern.
Yes.
Talk about, am I going to get a super suit just as long as it's not green and animated? That's just awesome.
Right. That's Deadpool. That's a self-aware breaking the fourth wall. That's the beauty of the character. And
exactly. Yeah. And there's nothing about that whole movie. There's nothing that I would suggest them to change.
Yeah.
I love the handling of Colossus.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so. If you were casting for Cable, who would you guys pick?
Ooh.
Putting him on the spot. Putting everyone on the spot.
Yeah, yeah, that's... Ooh.
Okay, let me think.
I have 2 choices.
Let me think about this.
One of which I can't even remember his name. Hold on a second.
Oh, who would be a good pick? Let's see. Cable.
If you wanted to look at someone.
That's cool.
Since I put you on the spot, I'll give you my choices, since I've actually thought about this in the past.
Oh, see?
There
you go. My 2 choices... my number 2 choice...
Okay.
I have 1 choice that...
Ron Perlman.
That's... I was just looking up Hellboy because I could not remember Ron Perlman's name.
That's
because I think he, I mean,
I think he would be good. But my number one choice would be Stephen Lang, the military bad guy from Avatar.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's a good, yeah, that's a good that's pick. A good.
He's grizzled.
Yeah.
I would like to see him. I think he's got the acting chops to pull it off.
Yeah.
But between the two of them, I hope one of those two gets it.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, because I, you know, I just like Ron Perlman in general.
Too. Yeah.
So,
yeah, know. Sons of Anarchy, he was such a good character in there. I know you said you hadn't watched that.
No, I had.
You have or not.
But like, yeah, just the other stuff that he's been in. Like, yeah. Even in, what's,
Blade 2.
He's
Blade 2. Yeah.
The I was thinking the alien movie that he's in.
Resurrection.
Yeah. Like he I love his character in that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of Cable-ish sort of. I mean, he's got weapons and guns. I guess that's as far as the similarity goes, really.
Having never talked to you guys about this Resurrection, Alien Resurrection, how do you feel? I feel it's an underrated movie.
I think it is,
Or I should say unnecessarily knocked movie.
Yeah, I think it is, too, because there's a lot that I like about it.
Yeah, there's some bad things.
It has potential. It's better than Alien 3.
Yeah,
I think if you remove the alien aspect of it and made it
standalone movie,
kind of something that maybe
I think
I also might be because I like Joss Whedon so much I might be unnecessarily biased against anything that he's had.
I can see what you're saying. I remember reading a thing from Joss Whedon or something where he was talking about how that making that movie was like one of the most painful experiences that he's ever had because. Of all the rights and involved with the characters, that he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. So there was a lot of input from the studio, I guess, as to what he could and couldn't do with the film.
Oh wow!
Because I think a lot of it too. I think the at least for me, like the weaknesses of the movie are probably more from them trying to like retcon Alien 3, because of, you know, because the stuff that happens in that movie, it's kind of bad, really. It kind of ruins the franchise, really.
Well, and that's another thing. If they wouldn't have tried to shoehorn that storyline into the pre-existing Alien story, I would have taken an Alien on a prison planet story, but it didn't have to be Ripley.
That
brought it there. And
they killed Newt.
Exactly. They killed all the characters you liked from, from Aliens. I mean,
That's what really excites me about the rumored Alien sequel that might take place after Ridley Scott's next Prometheus movie.
Yes.
Because they're somehow going to retcon that, and Newt is supposed to be, I think, supposed to be a character, and Hicks definitely is.
Oh, for real? Huh, man, I would like to see that. I remember going to see Alien 3 in the theater and being so hyped and excited to go see it because I was like, the whole time, I'm like, there's no way they can do this movie bad.
Right.
Like, there's no way. And then, like, you know, after watching the film, walking out, that's how you can do that movie bad because it was like everything that was good about it was not in that film.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was just, I don't know. But Alien Resurrection, I definitely feel is kind of underrated because I like the space pirates that were in it. I thought
it kind of
felt
like a prequel to Firefly-ish.
It did.
In terms of attitudes and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I liked how they killed the captain off, like, almost immediately. Yeah. But I really liked that actor and everything. Like, I wanted to see more of him, but I was like, oh, well, they killed him off. Well, that's kind of cool that they took that route, though, you know? But, because that guy's got, like, that, I can't think of the actor's name, but he's got, like, the perpetual voice that sounds like he smoked a million cigarettes every day. It's all grisly sounding.
Because he's also, isn't he also in The Crow? He's like the bad
guy.
He is,
he's the bad guy in The Crow.
Yeah, I don't know his name. What else was he in? He was in Robin Hood or something.
Yeah, he was in Robin Hood. I think he was the bad guy in Robin Hood, too. I think it's Michael Wincott, isn't it?
That sounds right.
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
Because he's done a couple other things, too, where... usually in the performances that he's in, I really enjoy him.
Yeah, that's...
And it's just kind of funny.
I know him most from The Crow. That's the...
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
That movie a thousand times.
Me too. So. But it's kind of funny, like, he seems like a character that they could probably place in to, like, a more lead role and,
yeah,
then, you know, and kind of go with it from there, but I don't know. So
maybe, I think his voice probably lends him to being in the
batter, yeah, guy that's, type of role. That's probably true, yeah.
Typecast.
Yeah, that is probably true. And there was one other thing we wanted to talk about, another...
Brian Fuller leaving Star Trek.
That's right. Yeah.
Supposedly just because he's just so busy with the other projects he has going on. But I dig the things that he's done. It's been most notably lately, his Hannibal.
I never did actually get into that, but I heard that was a really good show.
I really liked it. I wish it could have lasted longer. I haven't finished it yet. It's once it got canceled, the last like 7 or 8 episodes that I'd taped on my DVR and hadn't watched yet are still sitting on my DVR waiting to be watched.
Man. Yeah.
I got so sad that it was canceled that
that's what happened to me with the HBO series Deadwood. I found out that it got canceled and never finished, and I was like, man, really? And the Carnival, too.
Yeah,
Carnival. That was on HBO. They never, and that was like, man, it's so good. And then they canned it, too. I'm like, oh, I hate that. That's why I don't like starting a series unless I know it's got some potential to last.
Dude, it's starting to be like the Ted McGee of new shows.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's like, man. Oh, man. Other than that, I don't know. Do we have anything else to talk about? Doctor Strange is coming up soon. Kind of getting excited about that. I've read some early reviews about it, and it sounds
I have not read any intriguing. Early reviews. Does it sound promising?
It does. It does sound promising. Everything I've read, because I try to avoid the spoilers, at least before I see it anyways.
Right.
But, everything that I've read so far... pretty good. The one thing I read, it did say that his origin is a little bit short.
Mm.
It's not very long, but I mean,
I'm okay
with that too. You know, we kind of know the character. Maybe that's not good for new people being introduced to Doctor Strange the first time. But I'm okay with them getting right into the action.
I think it brings in the mystery. I think Doctor Strange needs a mystery.
Doctor Strange will always hold a special place in my heart. I might have told you, I don't know if I've told you or the internet, that I'm originally from a town called Minerva, Ohio.
Oh, you did tell me this, yes.
And in Marvel Comics Presents, either 18 and 19 or 19 and 20, which was the... it was like a serialized comic in the 90s that had like 4 parts of a story, and then those...
Where the Weapon X storyline
Well, Doctor Strange was one of those stories, and he visited Minerva, Ohio. It was called Nightmare in Suburbia, Part 1 and 2, and the best line of comic book to someone from of comic books ever for someone that lives in Minerva is, I am Doctor Strange, Sorcerer Supreme of Earth, and I am in Minerva, Ohio for the first and hopefully the last time.
That is awesome. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. Yeah, the one thing I heard about, they were just talking about the effects in general, where, like, I guess Marvel went all out with the effects on this movie, that it's just something spectacular, and it's something that, you know, we haven't really seen before, I guess, and there's a lot of, you know...
The previews alone, just the 3D nature of him falling, and then when I was... watching somebody
the city like folding on itself. Looks so cool.
I'm trying to remember a friend of mine, one of the trailers, I guess I think it's like the time trailer or whatever of Doctor Strange, if you play it backwards it basically sounds exactly the same.
Really
Yeah. A friend of mine, I seen on Facebook, he literally recorded it, and then he had a software and he played it backwards, and it basically sounded is exactly the same words backwards and forwards.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I like when things like that happen.
Yeah, I'm
going to quote what happened wrong here. It was Inception. The theme music to Inception, if you speed it up by the amount of time, the time is different in the movie, apparently is almost exactly the same as a theme to a movie about dreams from some long time ago.
Oh, wow, that's pretty.
Yeah,
yeah. I have to check that out too. I didn't know about that.
What's his name?
Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer.
That Inception's a really good movie. Too.
It is.
It really is. Really is.
There's a lot going on in there.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. Well, do we have any other things that we want to mention before we sign off, or is that that's it for the week?
Phone conspiracy.
Oh yeah. We do have one more thing.
One of my issues, or the I broke down and purchased the Amazing Spider-Man event, Dead No More, the Clone Conspiracy. That's the new Spider-Man storyline, which I want to be honest with you. The last time that I picked up a Spider-Man comic was basically. Brand New Day, the whole Spider-Man makes a deal with basically the devil of Marvel Comics and loses, you know, his marriage to Mary Jane to save Aunt May. So that whole Brand New Day, One More Day storyline, that's where, you know, Marvel kind of lost me. So
yeah, I got it. With that, I have to say something. that whole issue just... Oh man, just does not sit right with me. I mean, that's.
I was already gone by then.
Yeah. It Spider-Man kind of brought me back just for that storyline because I wanted to see where it would go. And then that issue came out, and I'm like, what?
Right.
This is not what Spider-Man would do.
Right, because, you know, you had the whole clone episode.
I was gone by then.
Yeah.
Yes.
That kind of, you know, ruined everybody from Spider-Man. But then the Civil War happened, and then you seen that Spider-Man revealed himself to the world as Peter Parker, and you're like, oh, well, let's see now that, you know, like Kingpin and other villains who never knew who Spider-Man was.
Yeah.
Let's see how they react and stuff. And so when One More Day and Brand New Day came out, I was like, I'm done. And, you know, so me picking up this comic is a real leap of faith for me right now. So basically what we fast forward to, you know, since the whole Secret War event that happened in Marvel that kind of reset everybody, you know, Peter Parker now is, you know, he owns a company, a technology company, and he's doing pretty good. He's not the, you know, beat down superhero who you know, is still struggling to make money or something like that. So he's, you know,
doesn't have enough money to buy milk.
Doesn't have enough money to buy milk and wants to make sure that Aunt May is okay. He's doing pretty good for himself. You know, not married or anything. And it starts out with a funeral, and it's Aunt May's second husband, which happens to be J.J. Jameson's father.
What?
Yeah, apparently they got married. So that's just how far off I have been from Spider-Man. You know, yeah. Aunt May got married.
It's really a shame, too, because, like, I'm far off from him, too. And he used to be, like, one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't know, just that clone saga.
When I was little, he was my absolute favorite character.
Yeah.
And then I collected Amazing for a long time.
Yeah.
And then Ultimate Spider-Man I collected for a long time.
Which is pretty good. Yeah,
and I kind of liked it because it was kind of a reset.
Yeah.
It's the hardest thing about liking comics whenever they don't do hard resets, like, every so often. Because, you know, like The Punisher, being a Vietnam veteran, you know.
Yeah.
He's getting old now.
Exactly, yeah. That's what happened a while ago. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it starts off with the funeral of Aunt May's second husband. And, you know, J.J. Jameson is blaming Peter Parker because there is a new company that has this, like, new medical kind of genetics that could have helped his father probably beat his sickness. But, you know, Peter advised him not to do it because Peter wasn't quite sure what this actually does. And so now, you know, Peter Parker is trying to struggle with the fact that if I would have let, you know, Aunt May's husband get this, had this company, you know, take care of him, he wouldn't be alive right now. He's, you know, he's feeling guilty like Peter Parker always does. So he does some investigating, and he visits one of the patients that has gotten this new treatment done. And as soon as he shakes the guy's hand, his spider sense just goes blaring off, and he's just like, okay, why is my spider sense going crazy and stuff? He's looking around, and he can't figure it out. And so he does some investigating into the company. He sneaks in at Spider-Man.
So he's dead zoned.
He's dead zoned. So he sneaks in, and lo and behold, he kind of sees the Jackal. He's like, wait a minute, the Jackal's dead. And so the Jackal kind of freaks out.
Where is he?
Yeah,
the Jackal. And you do mean the comic book character, not like a 90s band with a chainsaw, right?
Yeah. Or not Bruce Willis
in the movie.
So the Jackal freaks out, and he calls in some reinforcements, which is the Rhino and Electro, but it's a female Electro. So, and, you know, it looks like...
Maybe it should be Elektra.
Elektra.
That's already taken, though.
Yeah, it is. I remember Elektra, this character, as a woman. I'm trying to remember how that... I think she actually died years ago. But so now she's back due to this process. And, you know, Spider-Man's battling him. And all of a sudden, he looks up and... spoiler alert, guess who he sees? Now, to all of there's only a few people in Spider-Man's whole life and history that can stop Spider-Man, like, with shock. Can you take a guess?
Gwen Stacy?
That is correct.
Oh, man, they had to go that route again?
But apparently, as soon as Spider-Man, Peter sees her, he's like, Gwen? And, you know, if you know the history of Gwen Stacy, there after she died, there was also, like, different Jackal made clones, to mess with Spider-Man's mind and stuff like that. But when Spider-Man got close to her and he literally touched her, his spider sense didn't go off.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, you're just some sort of clone or something like that. But it's starting to appear that this is the actual Gwen Stacy.
Wow, I wonder how they're going to explain that. My whole problem with, like, using clones as a storytelling mechanism, it's like it always seems to just be a really weak point to any story. Because even one of the things I've always, like, I love the character, the villain, Dr. Doom. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's awesome. Mm-hmm. But then, like, in issue after issue, they used to use the Doom Bots, where it was not really Dr. Doom.
It's like, oh, hey, he defeated... the Power Pack defeated Dr. Doom. Oh no, it was a Doombot. And like towards the end of the story,
that was a good pull.
At the end of the story, you know, he sees Gwen. His spider sense isn't tingling, so he's like, "What the heck is going on?" But then it tingles again, and lo and behold, it's Doc Ock. So that's where it stops at. So it's kind of like, is Gwen Stacy a clone, or is this the real thing, real person? And there's like, I don't want to spoil it too much for you, but there's an actual, like, separate story on the back of this issue dealing with Gwen Stacy and even the fact the day that she died and what was going through her head.
Interesting.
So I think you guys, I'm going to try and give this book a chance. to see where this goes. It was written by Dan Sloot, is the writer of this storyline, and hopefully the more we get into it, the more we can talk about it. So
is Mary Jane in this? What's the relationship between Peter Parker and Mary Jane?
From what I'm gathering, like I said, this is like the first of the Spider-Mans I've picked up in a long time. Mary Jane, I think, is working for kind of like Tony Stark.
Really?
Yeah. So she's kind of like,
so they're not together.
They're still not together,
huh?
And that always, like you said, that always bugged me, because it's like, oh, finally Spider-Man gets a break. He gets a girl. It's like,
face one the tiger, and you hit the jackpot.
Right,
exactly.
Right, exactly.
You know,
like,
you know,
one died. The other one started dating Harry for a bit, and it's like, oh, you got Mary Jane. Like,
and that's,
finally.
Yeah, and the thing I've always liked about Mary Jane over Gwen Stacy is we saw like the relationship like build in the comic book where
yeah.
it got to the point to where, you know, and I always liked that. That always seemed more realistic to me than just, I don't know. I just,
yeah.
I'm more of a Mary Jane fan than a Gwen Stacy fan.
I am too. Like, just let the girl die. Just let Gwen Stacy die.
Gwen Stacy died before I ever read a Spider-Man
comic. Exactly,
right.
Exactly. So,
but she was the one that he would always, you know, he'd have to compare people to because he was so... That was just some great storyline. So if she's been alive in a cryo chamber or something this entire time, I'm going to be kind of saddened by this. So I'm hoping it's a clone.
Yeah,
at
I am
this
too.
Point.
Yeah, because it kind of weakens the impact of her death, really. Too, if it was a clone this whole time,
and her father's death, in the comic was so iconic.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
So help me, if you mention that Captain Stacy's in here, there's going to be. Oh.
You should read it.
oh man!
No.
Oh, so that's your non-spoiler.
I'm not denying or confirming. I'm just saying it is an interesting read. I'm hoping that it will bring those of us who were turned off by the clones and One More Day, Brand New Day would bring us back. That's what I'm hoping that this event will do for us. We'll bring back our Spidey. Or at least give us new hope that Spidey can kick butt.
I hope so.
Perhaps I'll read this.
Yeah, you've piqued my interest, Sam Stevens.
So
yes. All right. Well, I guess that's all we got for this week, and I guess thanks for listening.
Yeah.
We'll sign out now, and thanks for listening, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.